And let me just say this. If it ain't working for you, there needs to be some changes in your life. If something's out of whack, we need to change. I believe society, time, God always brings us a chance to change. We'll always have opportunities to get better. We always have opportunities to change, to fine-tune. And it may be, you may have had something that's been working in your life for a long time that is producing good fruit in your life. Well, we can take a look at it and fine-tune it. Shave the fat off. I don't mean that literally like dieting. I mean, you know, it's a term. You understand my terms, hopefully. If you don't understand my terms, please raise your hand and usher will explain it to you. But God always brings us a chance to change. And we've been reading, you can go with me to Mark chapter 4. We've been talking about the parable of the sower. And the Bible tells us that we must understand this parable. And Jesus even goes to the point of saying, if you don't understand this parable, you will not understand any parable. So this parable, we need to take a look at. This parable, we should understand it. We should make a point in our life to have this parable down on the inside of us. That the understanding of this parable needs to be in our heart. And no matter how many times I read it, I always take at least a moment or two, a day, a month, a year. I'm always looking over this parable. I'm always reading it. I'm always trying to put this on the inside of me because I understand that Jesus said this is the very basics of parables. And if we don't have this one, we won't understand any of them. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 18. And these are they that which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitful of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, what I want to focus on this morning is the deceitful of riches. Now, in the body of Christ for a long time, it has seemed to be that wealth is a four-letter word. It has, you know, that anytime there's vows of poverty that the church is, you know, there's like, I don't know where it started. I haven't really done my homework on it, but there came a point where the church embraced poverty except for those at the top. Because they built their churches out of gold. They hung gold crosses. Gold was evil except if it was made in the shape of a cross and Jesus was hanging on it. Then it was acceptable. Gold and wealth was evil until it was painted on paintings of Jesus and Mary and anyone else, or the saints of the church. What had to happen, and look, the church has not been perfect, and there are people who don't like the church based on the mistakes of the past. Can I tell you something? That's like not liking yourself because of the mistakes of the past, and some people actually deal with that. And so if I would say anything, one, forgive yourself. And move on. You need to love yourself. The Bible says love your neighbor as you what? Love yourself. And you can't really show love and hate your own self. There's always a problem. If you hate your own self, it's going to come out on the inside of you. So how can we get to a place where we're no longer hating ourselves? This is not the route I planned on going. But how do we get out of hating ourselves? One, we have to change the image that we have of ourselves. We're believing a lie. We're believing a lie that society has said. Maybe mom and dad backed it up. Maybe the school backed it up. Maybe your friends backed it up. Maybe you have been hurt all your life. Everywhere you go, there's hurt and pain. And maybe you associate who you are. I deserve this. I've lived this way. And maybe you are correct. Maybe in natural circumstances, you have caused a lot of bad things to happen in your life. Maybe you've had done nothing, but it all still came. Either way, it doesn't matter. What we have to do is change our image about ourselves. But the way we do that is we get in God's word and we find out what God has to say about ourselves. Can I tell you something? If God says something good about me and you say something bad about me, I hate to tell you, honey, I'm not going to put 2 cents in what somebody said about me if God says good things about me. Because to believe God is the truth, and to believe anybody who disagrees with him is a lie. I have been created for good things. I have been created with a purpose. There was a foundation before the earth was ever even thought of, before the earth was ever out in existence. Whether you believe it was spoken and bang, it happened, or God played marbles and smashed two rocks together, however he created it, don't really care. I just know that he did. I don't know the complete method. I have an idea, but I don't know how he did it to 100%. But what I do know is that he did it. And before there was nothing out there, before anything was there, God said, I knew you by name. He said, before the world was ever created, before the sun ever shined, before anything was in existence, he knew the time period, he knew the name, he knew the number of hair or the lack of it that you had. At this very moment, he knew it. He had a plan for you. He had a destiny for you. Now, sin has tried to sneak into the world because of the fall of mankind to divert your original creation, to divert what you were originally made for. See, the church has preached Jesus died for a bunch of sinners. Jesus died to get back the original creation. Jesus died to get back a church that was clean. You were never meant to hold on to sin. You were never meant to be wretched. You were never meant to be self-focused. You were never meant to carry pain and suffering and defeat on you. You were created for victory. You were created for a relationship with God. You were created for the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. You were created to have a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. And that's why he died. Not to save a sinner, but it was to get the creation back in its original condition. What he did was he restored a classic. He restored a classic with original parts. Now see, sometimes we create, we go in and we restore original, but we have to get parts that are not original, that are fabricated, or that are, just replicas of the original because there ain't no parts around. But the thing is, the master builder is still here. The blueprint, the blueprints for the plan is still functioning. What has happened is the world was sold out by mankind. And all of a sudden, God had to leave his original creation. And it's been sitting there, rusting, rotting away. And God paid the payment to get his original creation back. And he has all the parts. See, you're not just a sinner painted up to look nice. It's not like God went in a house and painted the walls. God rebuilt the walls. God rebuilt everything back to the original specs. There is no dirt, no grime. Said the old man is passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. God did not die so he could save a sinner. God died so he can get the original plan back into place. It was being perverted, misused. Oh, so we have to get the mindset of who God says we are. We are his creation. So important that he would send his son to die for us. And we get this mentality that we are nothing but dogs before the presence of God. I went to a church and they would quote the scripture, Lord, our righteousness. They looked very pious. Their head was always above everyone else. They never looked at them in the eyes, but they would look up at God and say, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the nostrils of God. And that is scripture, but it's misused because they're using it to say we're nothing, that to God we are nothing. And what God was trying to show in that scripture, when we try to bypass the blood, when we try to bypass grace, mercy, and faith, when we try to make a way to heaven, when we try to build the Tower of Babel to reach God, that is filthy. Because we're saying what God has done is not enough. And what religion and man can do can get me there. Let me tell you something. If you don't go by the blood of Jesus, if you don't go by the plan of God, it stinks. It's dead. There's no life in it. But when you go before the Lord and you say, Father, I accept Jesus as my Savior. There's nothing I can do in my own. It's all because of the blood. It's all because of Jesus. That doesn't stink. That has life in it. And it takes everything out of you. It takes everything that you can do away. The reason why we don't like that sometimes is because we want to feel like we deserve something, like we've done something enough to get into heaven. And if you even listen to some of our old music that we used to sing in church, it would almost back that up. Oh, bye and bye, Lord. Oh, until the morning comes. I always remember, I won't give nothing for my journey now. I got to make it to heaven somehow. No, y'all didn't sing those. I'm so sorry. We had the old hymnals. Yeah, y'all didn't get those. Y'all were boring. I'm sorry. Y'all had to kneel a lot and do signs, and y'all were quiet. We were loud. I enjoyed church as a child. It was fun. But we always sang about trying to make it, trying to get there. Trying to see what we had to do to get there. I can't lose heaven. So it was always a mentality of, I could lose this. Can I tell you something? You didn't pay the price to get it. It's not for you to lose. It's for you to accept and walk in. Now, I heard a thought process, and I'm not even going to get into it. But the only way to get to heaven is to accept Jesus as your Savior. That's it. There's no good works. There's no amount of money. There's whole religions of trying to be worthy enough. Can I tell you something? If God calls you worthy, if you committed a sin this morning, it does not make you unworthy. Now, I'm not talking about living outside of his plan. I'm talking about making a mistake. Have you ever did something you didn't want to do, and you did it, and the moment you did, just everything on the inside of you cringed? I tell you something, God made a way of escape for us that we can continue. Some of us have dealt with habits for so long that we need time to get rid of those habits. And God says in 1 John 1:9 that if we would confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us. That if we come before the Lord and repent, which does mean turn. I'm not going to get into a theological debate this morning or explain all of theology to you on this subject. But what I want you to do is change your mentality that you can lose it at the drop of a hat. I remember, I've told this story before, so if you've been here, you know this story. But I remember I was in my church, and one of our deacons was speaking, and they were talking about how fragile salvation is. How quickly you could lose it. How quickly you could, you're living for Jesus and one thing happened and you can go to hell. And so I just asked the question. I said, I want to ask you this question. I said, what if I lived for Christ for 75 years, no sin in my life, not one time for 75 years. And I'm working on my house and I'm using a hammer and I'm nailing into the wall. I miss and I hit my finger and I swear and I fall off the ladder. And I land on my head and I die, heaven or hell. And he looked at me without blinking and said, you would split hell wide open. I mean, I remember walking away because, you know, we were taught not to speak back to our elders. And I was a teenager at that moment. But that was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I want to tell you something. You should be secure in your salvation. Jesus paid the way so that you could have a relationship with the Father. And can I tell you something? If anything I've learned in a relationship is that we can be upset with each other at times, and I could still want to do good things for her. I can still want to hold an umbrella if it's raining or opening the door if she's standing there, if she'll wait for me. Sometimes she's just too fast. But there are times when we may not be the happiest with each other, but it doesn't mean I want anything bad to happen to her. I still want to bless her. She may want some space from me, and I may want the same thing. But I still love her with everything in me. So when you make a mistake, it doesn't mean that everything is over. It's a relationship, not a religion. It's not a bunch of rules. It's living with God. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't violate the word. I have to get back on track or we'll be here all day. I was supposed to be focusing on the deceitful of riches. That's what I was supposed to be focusing on. So we're going to start now. Start the clock back over. Some of you looked very afraid. That was a joke. But I want you to know something. God thinks good thoughts about you. The Bible tells us so. He says the only thoughts that he had for you are good. He says, also, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. God tells us that he wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he has sworn unto thy fathers as it is this day. Psalms 35 and 27, which is one of my favorites. I love this. You know, people ask me, what's your favorite scripture? They just all kind of are, and I use them for different things. But this one, I love this scripture. It says, let them shout for joy that be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God loves blessing you. I was taught that God was looking for excuses to get you. That God was the almighty smiter. And even music backed it up. I'm not talking about Christian music so much, but Johnny Cash. I mean, he would sing. Sooner or later, God's going to cut you down. A warning to the backbiter, backslider. Sooner or later, God's going to cut you down. Anybody remember that? Still have the 8-track? Nope. Okay. I may or may not have that one. All right. But, you know, people, that was the mentality that God was going to get you. In Sunday school, there was a picture of God chasing Adam and Eve out of the garden with a fly swatter. Their naked little selves running out, and God, you know, has a switch coming after them. And it was a fly swatter. There wasn't even fly swatters, and he had one because he was God. It made sense. He could have anything he wanted. And if you've ever been whipped with a fly swatter, because most of the time, they were metal going into there. And if they didn't feel like it was getting the job done, they just went down a little further. And when that metal made contact, that hurt. I remember one time I laughed. I guess not laughed as much as smirked. Made a little. Because my daddy asked, and he expected me to lie, but I told the truth, and I got in trouble for it. He spanked me with a fly swatter. He said, son, do you think that's funny? And the answer was yes, that was the truth. And then he turned it around. And it was no longer funny. No longer funny at all. But that was the picture of God. As he was looking for an opportunity to cut you down. He was looking for an opportunity to bring judgment and pain and suffering in our life. He was looking for an opportunity to make us pay for our sin. But then when you dig into the word for yourself, you find that God is looking for opportunities to bless those. He's looking for opportunities. He says, I only think good thoughts toward you. I'm like, wait, what? Good thoughts? Not thoughts of punishment? You don't have a whole list of things you want to do to me? But you have a list of things you want to bless me? And look, and when I say this, a lot of times when we talk about prosperity or wealth, we almost think just finances. You're not wrong. You're just not 100% right. Wealth and riches are different words. They mean different things. There are a lot of people that are rich on this earth that are not wealthy. Wealthy is more, it involves everything. It's not just money. Wealth is mindsets, mentalities, way of living, standards. It includes finances. It includes all of this, but it's a way of life. Because you can be rich, and if you're not a giver, you are not wealthy. You can be rich, and your whole family can be going to hell, and that is not wealth. You can be rich, and everybody in your house has mental problems. That is not wealth. Wealth is something more than just material goods. The devil, that's deceitful of riches. That's what we're going to get into. Deceitful of riches is material things. If I could just get enough money, I'd be happy. My life would be better if I could just make $75,000 a year. Because that seems to be what Forbes magazine says is the magic number for everybody to be happy. But do you know the number one thing people at $250,000 or more a year, their number one fear is? They don't make enough. According to Forbes magazine, the number one fear of people who make $250,000 a year, their number one fear is, I don't have enough. Can I tell you something? If I just had 1 year at $250,000, I think I'd be all right. So let's believe God that next year. No, I'm just kidding. All right. My jokes are funnier to me, but that's the key of a dad. It's part of being a dad. My jokes are always funny to me. Maybe not to you, but to me, I'm hilarious. So in all of this, deceitfulness of riches. If you don't have the peace of God or the wealth of God in your heart, his mentality in you, the all thing that money's going to do is amplify the problems you already have. They're going to amplify. Do you know that the average American, when they that gets over $10,000 or more back on their income taxes, when they get their check back, if the average person that gets above $10,000 back, and most people say, get money back, what? Who? Huh? Who does this? Yes, but if you get $10,000 or more, the average American that gets that much money back from the government spends it all before it ever hits their bank. Money is not going to do anything but amplify who you already are. If you have a problem with balancing budgets, money is not going to solve that. You want to know why? You're going to find bigger and better toys. There are, no matter what you got right now, if you have a dirt bike, they make a bigger one. If you got a crotch rocket, they make a nicer one. If you got boats, they make bigger boats. They got yachts. They got homes. They got all kinds of things you can just continue to buy. If you have a spending problem, more money is not going to be the answer. It's getting a hold of where you are now. Wealth is an attitude. Wealth is a mentality. Wealth is a mindset. God, what we have to get on the inside of us is God wants to bless us. He's not looking for ways to punish us. He's looking for ways to bless us. Let's look at Luke 16 and 13. And I am ending pretty quickly here. I at least have six more of those. What does it mean when a pastor says he's winding down? Not a thing. Not a thing. Yeah, it's just like, how's the weather? Top of the morning to you. It's just a statement. Luke 16, 13 says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, what is mammon? Mammon is a Greek word that comes out of the Arabic. Let's see if I can get this right. Now, I will preface this with a southerner pronouncing Greek. Ma-mu-nas. Ma-mu-nas. It's a good word. I should just say it every once in a while. Ma-mu-nas. It means riches or treasure, or it's more of finances. It's more to do with that. It comes back from Syria, who the finances, that the way we operate, the way the United States, the way that most governments operate right now, comes all the way back to Syria. They were the first ones to come up with this process of having something that represents wealth, as in gold, and then having something else that we exchange for it. That was the whole system that they got up and running. And so this is what this word basically embraces, is a desire, is wealth, is riches, is finances, it's those kind of things. But money, the Bible's very clear that money is not evil. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. So if you have the heart and the mentality that you would do anything for finances or that money is the most important to you, the moment God says to give something, you will fight that on the inside of you. You're fine with God until he touches one subject. Any of you had a friend that you were fine with until they touched a subject that you disagree on? I think what's interesting is the United States, in the past, we've been really good at disagreeing. Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about history altogether. We don't have, I guess, the best past when it comes to politics. I mean, we didn't like Britain. Look how that ended up. I will say thank you. One person laughs. That's the joke is worth it. But in all of this, now Britain wasn't fair, so we could get into all that's behind it. Jesse says, no, we're going to move on. So where was I going? Anyone know? Great Britain. So anyway, the love of money, right? Unfair. I don't know where I was going. Jesse said a word and her beauty distracted me and I lost my place in my sermon. Oh, she has that effect on me. Mammon. All right. So anyway, to love one and to hate the other. So what happens is in the past, in the 50s, maybe, I don't know about the 60s and 70s too much, but if we disagreed, if neighbors disagreed politically, they still were neighbors. They were still family. They were still, you know, church people could disagree. I will tell you right now, I know that there are people in this church, I know that there are people who have voted on the left and voted on the right. And there are people who've ignored it altogether because they're like, I think they're all dirty rats. So we have, you know, we got the right wing, we got the left wing, we got the whole bird in this church, all of you. We got the legs to the thighs, all of it. We got the whole bird. The whole chicken is in this church this morning. And so we used to be able to disagree. But then something happened in society where political parties begin to understand that if we could cause a division among them so great, there will be no longer any center. Because they always said it's the undecided who decides. And so what they wanted to do is narrow down, chip away at that undecided. Those that didn't want to be on the right are on the left. They were in the middle somewhere. But if we could put a divide among them, then they have to choose a side and we can know where they stand and we'll make issues the point. And so we've divided a nation, and it seems like we're more divided than we've ever been. And I know that's not true if you study our history, but it seems in my lifetime that we're at the greatest division we've ever seen in history. But can I tell you something? We should be able to disagree on politics and still worship God together. You should be able to have a different opinion than my own about the way our nation should handle things, and we should still love each other. There's no scripture that says, unless thou be Republican or Democrat, get thee out of my house. Don't let the good Lord hit ya where the good Lord split ya. You know, there's no scriptures like that in the house. There's no scriptures like that in the Bible. We used to be able to disagree and still love each other. But what God is telling us is that when one system stands so much in one way and another system stands so much in the other way, we are going to have to make a decision. And so when the world finances, material things, that when that becomes the symbol of wealth, and God says all of a sudden, give and it shall be given. Or how about in Malachi? There's no food in my house. If you take care of my house, I will take care of yours. How about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you have need of will be added unto you. When the world says, get all you can, put everything you get in the can, sit on the can, me, my four, and no more. There's a drastic difference in how the world will tell you to obtain wealth and how God will tell you to obtain wealth. Oh, I think I'm going to get into something that if I get into it right now, it's too much. Maybe I'll just give you, you know, like at the ice cream shops, here's a tiny little spoon of something. Here's a little taste. Eat this and know that it's good. Now, I will say, Sometimes I believe preachers don't say what's on their heart because they're afraid somebody's going to mistake them and take it too far one side or the other. I don't fear that about you. I believe that you study the word and you know what I mean and you know my heart when you hear what I say, you know what I say. One of God's blessings and how we can tell a blessing on somebody's life can be attached to finances. It absolutely can. But not everybody who has finances is blessed by God. And see, what happened is the church goes so far the other way because the old Irish proverb. Are you ready for my Irish? Let's even get a good Irish accent. Do you want to know what God thinks about money? That's terrible. They're like, you know what I have to do? I have to say the line from the movie. Tell me you like my hot shining. Okay, once I do that a couple times, I normally can get it. Tell me you like my hot shining. We're like, do you want to know what God thinks about money? Look at who he gives it to. That's the old Irish proverb. If you want to know what God thinks about money, look at who he gives it to. That's what the world thinks about finances. And so the church has looked at it as wealthy people can be the meanest, hateful, driven people, and nobody matters. What matters is building the company, building my 401k. Anyone who gets in the way of that, we will crush and we will dominate. And so the church has gone to the other side because they didn't want to be associated with it. But what happened was we got so poor. We got so busted and disgusted. Our vehicles were rust-holding hands, and if it wasn't for the church bumper stickers, it would fall apart. You hit a bump. What was that? I don't know, but it's gone, and that noise has stopped. So praise be his name. Okay, that's a real story. One time I was driving a car, and this, I'm like, Lord, whatever that is, please make it quit. I mean, just the moment I said that, I looked up in the rear view, a piece of metal flew up out of it and landed on the road. Never heard that noise again. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayers. Not exactly what I was expecting, but whatever. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. What was it? No idea. No idea. Still don't know to this day. I have no idea what it was. Didn't stop to find out. But instead of being on the right path about finances, we've gone so far one way or so far on the other. We got so prosperity-minded that it is not biblical or scriptural, or we got so poor-minded it's not biblical or scriptural. It's not the standard. It's not, we can't look at somebody and say, you don't have enough money, so you don't have a relationship with God. You have a lot of money, so you have a relationship with God. But look, God clearly told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, people will know you because of my blessing and the riches upon your life. I will give you the ability to obtain wealth. That's what he told them. He said, people will know you. But then he also said, people around the world will bring to you. And see, we're trying to, we hear God's wealth and we hear of God's blessing, and we work so hard in our own self to make it happen. I mean, we're running the rat race. Even if you win, you're still a rat. You're like, I'm going to win the rat race. Well, you're still a rat. Get out of the rat race. Let God lead you, guide you, direct you. Follow him. Get biblical. Get right on path. Trust the Lord, even when it doesn't look like it's turning out correctly. Do you think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never had an opportunity to doubt God's word was coming to pass? Just look at them. But they kept following. They kept doing. Even if it was 2, 3, 4, 5 years of disaster, they kept believing God. And everybody who knew them knew the blessing of God is on their life. Even when they did nothing right, God still blessed them, brought favor to them. Abraham, how do you get before kings? It wasn't his education. It wasn't his morals. It was nothing about him except that he was in covenant with God. And this morning, yes, you have to plan. Yes, Budgets are good things. All this is good. Give God every opportunity to function in your life with blessing. Absolutely line everything up that you can. But trust him to do what you can't. Trust him to make a way where there was or is no way. Because with God, nothing is impossible. We can look at the bars. We can look at the chains. We can look at how we have no way out. But when God gets involved, he'll make a way out. God says he'll make a way of escape so that you may bear it. So whatever situation you're in right now, it may be hot, it may be painful, it may be distracting, it may be nerve-wracking. But God will give you the strength to stand when everything around you crumbles. God will give you the ability to sail through the storm and get to the other side. Jesus was wealthy. When the storm came, all the disciples were freaking out. Water was filling the boat. And what did they do? They woke up. See, I can still grab people and shake them. They woke Jesus up. Master! 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 I screamed three times because I wanted to shake her more. Don't you care that we die? Isn't that the human response? My finances are a wreck, God. Aren't you going to do something? Visa, Master, Discover, they're all calling. What are you going to tell them, Lord? And he didn't even swipe the card in the first place. But somehow it's his fault. You promised me, Lord. And we get to a place where it seems like everything is crumbling. And just like the disciples, we want to wake Jesus up because apparently he's sleeping. And say, don't you care that we die? Don't you care that we're drowning in debt? Don't you care that my family's going through hell? Don't you care? I tell you something, he settled that 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. There's no more question does he care? Of course he cares. What we need to do is get to a place, God, if there's anything we need to change, let us know. And instead of waking Jesus up in the boat, why don't we just go to lay down right beside him? Say, scoot over, I need that pillow. The Bible says he was asleep on a pillow. They're like, scoot over, Jesus. I like to sleep on a pillow too. So instead of freaking out, we need to get to a place where we trust him, where we believe, God, you'll make a way. If I miss it, you'll hold me. If I make a mistake, life is not over. This will not be life-altering, disaster-changing. God, if I make a mistake, I trust you to fix it. If I make a wrong financial mistake, if I invest in the wrong stock market, if I lose everything, I expect you to bring it back somehow, some way. And if I'm wrong, show me where I'm wrong. God brings us opportunities to change. Let's listen. Let's not blame him. Let's believe the scripture, Proverbs 10 and 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow. If we're going to be trusted with true riches in this world, one, we're going to have to find out that people are true riches. More than finance. Jesus didn't go to the cross so he could save all the gold for the church. He went to the cross so he could add people to the kingdom of God. And when our focus gets off of us and we die to self and we say, God, we'll do your way. We've done it enough our way and it hasn't got us to the place we want to be. So help me to love people like you love people. Help me to see people like you see people. Help me to see the world the way you see the world. Let me see the homeless like you see the homeless. Let me see the hungry how you see the hungry. Let me see my brother and sister in the body of Christ how you see them. He went to the cross for them. He came down. Have you ever just really sat down and thought about it? Jesus in heaven comes down, goes into Mary's stomach as a fetus, and then comes out. I mean, that's not pretty. That baby looks horrible. Do you know what they do before they give the baby to the mom? They don't give the baby to the mom. They wipe them off. You want to know why? They're covered in junk and goo. They come, you don't want to kiss that thing. Maybe you're gross, but maybe you're one of those. It is, and Jesus decided to come that route. Does that not freak anyone else out? None of you think like this. I could tell by the way you're looking at me. None of you have pictured or thought about this. Yes! I mean, like, Jesus did that. Why? Nobody else has thought that way. Why that way? I would have been like, if I was Jesus, you better be glad I wasn't. But if I was Jesus, I'd be like, God, is there another way? Can you just really like Thanos, just snap your fingers, put me down there? Just like, boom, I'm in the manger. I'd be even settle for a Hilton. You know? Doesn't have to be 5-star. Let's put me in a 3. No one else thinks this way. I do. Like, it freaks me out a little bit that God would decide to come this route. But he thought that we were so important that he came in as humanity. He had to walk and he had to learn to control functions and do things. He was a baby born as a human, became a man. But he was all God and all mankind. And he died for our sins. And he did something he didn't have to do because he's seen us as who we truly are and not the mistakes. He never saw us as an accident, a mistake, or a problem. He saw us as his children, his brothers, his sisters in Christ. One, he saw that going to the cross would multiply him, would bring people into the kingdom. God, help us to see and maybe even do things that we would think are beneath us to reach those who need to hear. Let's not get so caught up in the deceitfulness of riches. I love vacations just like anyone else. Speaking of rat races, I'd love to go see that mouse in Florida with all that stuff. It's fun. My little girls, they love it. Disney World, they love it. And I'd love to see their face light up. But is that our focus? What is truly our focus this morning? I'm ending. Let's just pray. Father, help us to see the kingdom the way you see the kingdom. I want to ask everybody here, let's just take a moment. We do this on a regular basis here. But let's just take a moment and ask the Lord, what is it in this message, Father, that you're trying to speak to me? What is it? What part of this message are you trying to drive home to my heart? Let's ask that question right where we are and take a moment just to listen. I believe God is going to answer many of you right now.